The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you back once again to our program, our silsila, The Special Ten. And in this, as we know, we are going to be continuing our discussion regarding those blessed, 10 blessed individuals, those 10 special individuals who received the glad tidings of paradise from the very tongue of our beloved Habib, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In the previous episode, we started the discussion regarding the blessed life of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. We will be continuing our discussion regarding his blessed life today, but before that, Inshallah, let's listen to a blessing of reciting durood and salam upon the beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'ab radiyallahu ta'ala, he has narrated that I humbly requested to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, O beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, indeed I recite salat upon you a great deal. Please tell me, how much time in a day should I fix for reciting salah, for reciting salat, for reciting durood? The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, however much you want, whatever you wish. So he says that I humbly requested and I said that should I fix 1/4 of the day and night? The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma shi'ta. فَإِنْ زِدْتَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. That whatever you wish, yes, if you add more than 1/4 that you've just stipulated and fixed, if you add more than that 1/4, this would be even better for you. So then he says, I humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I fix half of the day and night for salat, for durood? The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again, he says, مَا شِئْتَ. فَإِنْ زِدَّ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. Whatever you wish, and if you add more time to this, it would be better for you. So then, he radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says, I humbly requested that, should I fix 2/3 of the day and the night? The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, whatever you wish, but if you add more, it would be better for you. So then he says, I humbly said, Ya Rasulullah, أَجْعَلُ لَكَ صَلَاتِي كُلَّهَا. I will spend the total time of the day and night in reciting salat upon you. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a reply to this, he said, if you do so, then this would be sufficient to remove all your worries and concerns. It will be an atonement for all of your sins. Subhanallah. This is the blessing of reciting salawat and durood upon the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously from this narration, we learn that this was apart from the faraid and the compulsory acts that were going to be performed. May Allah Azza wa Jal also grant us the ability to recite durood abundantly. And as the scholars also tell us, we've learned from this narration, and the scholars constantly tell us as well, inform us of this fact, that durood sharif, reciting salawat upon the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a great means of having our troubles, our calamities, our worries from our lives, our problems from our lives being removed. So this is another intention, inshallah, before we even start to discuss the blessed life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And today, let's make an intention and let's fix a time and an amount of durood that we'll be reciting on a daily basis. Alhamdulillah, in the Madni Amat that Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Ali has given us, he has given us the number of 313, that we should try to recite durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at least 313 times on a daily basis. And this, the scholars have stated that somebody who recites Durood Sharif in this number, he would be considered from amongst those people who recite Durood Sharif abundantly. And alhamdulillah, many blessings of reciting Durood abundantly are mentioned within the riwayat and narrations that we hear from time to time, especially in the blessed environment of Da'wat-e Islami. So one way to fix a goal and to attain, to make sure we attain that goal, a simple way is to be realistic with it. Fix a particular time in a day so that that time is only for reciting Durood. So that particular time, so that you can get into a habit of doing that on a daily basis. And then fix a figure. 313 is not a massive figure to start with. And we want consistency rather than just being overdoing something and being very, very firm on it for one day or 2 days. So we want consistency over intensity, rather than being intense with something and completing like 7,000 in one day and then taking a month break. Rather than that, if we could inshallah make a habit of reciting 313 times at least on a daily basis, once we've gotten into a habit, then it would be easy for us to increase the number that we recite inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So in the previous episode, we've discussed and we've looked at the blessed life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and a brief introduction to his life and his lineage, his physical attributes and his manner of dealing with other people. Now in the life of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an, as we discussed, that during his childhood, he grew up just like any ordinary child and his peers at that time, and he would be tending camels for his beloved for his father at that time. Also, in the time of ignorance and jahiliyyah, at that time Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, he took certain steps and he had certain specialities which made him an even more valued and a special individual. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, as soon when he became young and he matured, one of the first steps that he took, one of the first things that caught his attention, that he drew his attention towards, was learning to read and write. So he started to learn, and he learned to read and write. And he knew how to read and write. And this was something that was considered bad, and it was looked down upon at that time. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, realized the value of this, and he learned to read and write. And we come to know this from his waqi'a, from the incident that took place when he accepted Islam. And inshallah, we will discuss this in detail in our upcoming episodes. But Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he went to his sister and she gave him the copy of the Quran that she was reading from, in which there was Surah Taha, some of the ayat of Surah Taha, etc. So when he took that, he read that without the assistance and the help of anybody. So he read it and he understood it, and that's when he felt the sweetness of these blessed verses of the Quran, these blessed ayat of the Quran. When he felt the sweetness, then his heart softened and his heart became enlightened with the light of Iman, with the light of Islam. And then he went into the court of our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and he accepted Islam. But from this incident, we realize that he knew how to read and write, and that's how he read without the assistance and help of anyone. So we learn that the blessed scholars, they have considered this quality of being able to read and write, this quality of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, as a special quality. Because as we've heard, people considered it a defect at that time, and they did not really look up to this, they don't really value this, learning to read and write, to the extent that it is actually stated, when Islam reached the people of Quraysh, and from the tribes of Quraysh, the people that accepted Islam, there were only 17 people who knew how to write. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an was one of those 17. Also Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an had vast knowledge of the Hebrew language as well. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, another speciality that he had, which was valued at that time, in the time of ignorance, in the era of ignorance and jahiliyyah, people valued someone who had this special skill of knowing the lineage and the family trees of various tribes. And this was another thing Hasina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an specialized in, and he knew and he had a good grasp and a good grip of this. Likewise, another special attribute and a quality of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an that he is very well known for. As some of us may know, that at that time there was a festival, in that, especially in the era of ignorance, and that continued afterwards. There was a festival in the place of Okal, where every year people would gather there, the Arabs from different places would gather there, and it would be a display of their talents. And this is where, for example, we know the very famous poet who also praised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the great companion Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an. He was a great poet. At that time, he was one of the greatest poets of his era. So he is also very well known from this very festival. Likewise, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, he would be known, he was known from this festival for a particular quality and attribute that he had. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Tayyah radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, and he narrates this in the gathering of Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an, that he says that I met a shepherd and I said to him that, do you know the person, the individual who can work with both of his hands? He has accepted Islam. As we've heard about Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an in our previous episode, that he had the skill to be able to work with both hands. So he would use both of his hands for any task that he was doing. So he says that I said to this shepherd, do you know the person that carries out his work with both hands? Meaning Umar radiallahu anhu, he has accepted Islam. And this shepherd, he says to him, are you talking about that individual who in the festival of Qaz, he used to come and he would be wrestling, he used to wrestle. So then he says that, yes, I told him, that's the individual I'm referring to. So you see, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as we've already learned, he was very strong. And he was very well known for his ability to wrestle as well. It is stated that he would jump on a horse and ride it. It is as though he was born on the back of the horse. That's how, in a manner and with such expertise, he would ride the horse. Also, Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala an, he had this particular interest in poetry. And whenever he would come across poetry, he would hear poetry. If he liked a verse, he would memorize it. And for that reason, he knew many verses off the top of his head, off by heart. So, and he would even speak to some of the greatest poets of that time, for example, Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu an, and he would communicate them. And we can come to know that this poetry and this talent and ability of poetry, he picked it up from this very festival of Uqaz, because once he became a Khalifa, after that he became very busy with the matters of management and carrying out his duties. And obviously then he refrained from any such activities. And at that time, he busied himself in managing the matters of Khilafah. Likewise, another great attribute that Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu had, another great skill he had, was the ability to speak. He was a very eloquent and a beautiful speaker. To the extent that we learn that his tribe had appointed him as their representative for many matters. Even when there was a need to go and reconcile because there had been some sort of a dispute or a disagreement between two tribes, and their tribe, the tribe of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, needed to reconcile with them, they would send Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu as their representative. So obviously somebody who's going to go and do these things, he has to be a very good speaker. He has to be a skilled speaker, and at the same time, he has to be an intellectually sound person, an intellectual person who understands matters, who has a very good grasp of being able to understand and comprehend the situation and the matter at hand, and to be able to deal with it in an appropriate manner. So Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he had both of these qualities within him. He was a great speaker. He had the great skill and a great quality of speech, and at the same time he was very intellectual and very wise in terms of understanding the situation. And he was also, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he was a trader. So this was his means of income, and he continued his trade even after becoming a Khalifa. And he took many journeys for the sake of this trade. And because of these journeys, it is stated that during the summer he would go towards Sham and Syria, and during the winter he would go towards Yemen. And in these journeys is when he possibly picked up all of these skills of being independent, being wise, and being able to understand various situations, and being able to reconcile between two people. Because these journeys and traveling, when you travel, it definitely brings about a lot of experiences within a person. He learns about the world from a different angle. And alhamdulillah, one of the beautiful ways that we have in Dawat Islami is to travel in the Madni Qafila. We travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's a means of reward for us. And we also get to go out and we see people out there. And we see that these people, how differently their life is compared to ours. If we're trying to act upon our religion, if we are trying to act upon the teachings of Islam, but at the same time we see people out there who may be living a life that is completely far away from Islam, despite them being Muslims. So these are the sort of issues we open up our mind to, because sometimes we're just living in our small bubble, in our small world that we've created around ourselves, and we don't go out there. And a lot of the times we don't realize the problems that are out there that need to be tackled, that we need to be mentally prepared for. And at the same time, it also gives us the ability to go out there and see things that we can appreciate, see Muslims acting upon Islam, or see, for example, if we go to a different country or a different area in which it is not as easy to build a masjid, in which it is not as easy to gain permission for a masjid, it helps us to appreciate our situation, that we're living in a place, we're living in a state where we have easy access to the masjid. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla also grant us the ability to be regular travelers for Madani Qafila. Now, from amongst the qualities of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, another thing that we look and we see Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu has are the titles that he has been granted. And he's been granted many titles directly from Allah Azza wa Jal and from the court of our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. One of his titles is Farooq, the criterion, and he's the differentiator between the truth and falsehood. And Sina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he was asked once that, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, O Amirul Mu'mineen, tell us about something about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an. And he says that Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, is that individual, is that blessed individual who has been granted the title Farooq by Allah Azza wa Jal, because he has separated a distinguished and differentiated the truth from falsehood. So this was a title of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. And as we've heard, he distinguished between truth and falsehood. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an, he says that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he states that I was sat in the masjid speaking and conversing with Sayyidina Jibreel, and suddenly Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he came. And Sayyidina Jibreel Amin alayhi salam, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is he not your brother Umar? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I said, yes, he is. And O Jibreel, does he have a particular name, a specific name, just like he has a specific name on this earth, does he have a specific name in the skies as well? Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Inna اسمه في السماء أشهر من اسمه في الأرض. اسمه في السماء فاروق وفي الأرض عمر. He says that his name in the skies is even more famous than his name on this earth. And in the skies, he is called Farooq, Al-Farooq. And on the earth, he is called Umar. So we know that even on the skies, his name is Farooq. And there's another beautiful narration that has been narrated in Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he states, fil jannati shajaratun ma alayha waraqatun illa maktubun alayha la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar al-Faruq, Uthman ذُنُّورَيْن, that there is a tree in heaven, and on every single leaf of that tree, it is inscribed, it is written, that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah, is the beloved messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Abu Bakr is Siddiq, Umar is Farooq, and Uthman is Zunnurain. We've discussed the title of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu in our previous episodes, that he was Siddiq because he spoke truth all the time. Even during the time of ignorance and the time of Jahiliyyah, even then he was extremely truthful and he was known as Siddiq. And Farooq, we've already discussed that Umar al-Farooq radiallahu anhu, because he is a differentiator between the truth and falsehood. And then Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu being Zunnurain, because he had two of the blessed daughters of our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in his marriage. So for that reason he is known as the possessor of two nur, two lights. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Another one of the titles of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Amirul Mu'mineen. And because before him, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to be called Khalifatul Rasul or Khalifatul Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He was known as the Khalifa of the Rasul of Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So then when it came to the time of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he thought that if I'm being called the Khalifa of the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, it might be a long title. It might be something long, turn into something long. For that reason then, this title came about. And this was actually, some people came and they asked, where is the leader of the believers? Where is Amir al-Mu'mineen? And from there this title was decided that it is a perfect title to give him. So he was the first one that received this title of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Another beautiful title of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu is Mutammimul Arba'een, the completer of 40, the one who completed 40, the number 40. Because before Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, 39 people had accepted Islam. And when he accepted Islam, he completed the number 40. And for that reason, he was known as Mutammimul Arba'een. He's also known as A'dalul Ashab, the most just, in terms of justice, the most just of all the companions. And this is also derived from a hadith of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, where he states, Abu Bakr araqqu ummati wa arhamuha, wa Umar ibn al-Khattab akhyaru ummati wa a'adaluha, wa Uthman ahya ummati wa akramuha, wa Ali ibn Abi Talib alubbu ummati wa asja'uha. That Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he is the most soft-hearted, the most soft and kind-hearted from amongst my ummah. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he is the best and the most just from amongst my ummah, from amongst my nation. And likewise, Sayyidina Uthman, he is the most modest, he has the most haya, and he is the most noble from amongst my ummah. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he is the most intellectual and the most brave from amongst my ummah. So this is a hadith that states the qualities and the blessings and the greatness of these four great companions, alayhim ridwan. Also, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, because he was so just, because he carried out justice in this manner, for that reason he is also known as Imamul Adilin, the leader of the just, the leader of the just people. Likewise, he is known as Sayyidul Muhaddathin. And this is a beautiful title of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. And this is another discussion that we can, inshallah, we'll be going into. Sayyidul Muhaddathin. Muhaddath means a person who has been inspired by Allah Azza wa Jal, who has been the correct thing and the correct matter has been revealed to him by Allah Azza wa Jal. So it has been hinted to him by Allah Azza wa Jal. And for this reason he is called Sayyidul Muhaddathin, because at many times his opinion was in accordance and it coincided it was in accordance with the Quran, with the ayat of the Quran that were revealed, and also at the same time his opinion that sometimes was in accordance with that of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So for that reason he is called Sayyidul Muhaddathin. There are many other titles that Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala has, but this is to now bringing this episode towards the end. As we've learned from the blessed life of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, and one of the importances, one of the things that we can definitely take from his life is the importance of education. That he learned to educate himself, he educated himself, learned to read and write, even though at that time people didn't think of it as having any value. This skill did not have any value in their eyes. They looked down upon it. But in this day and age as well, we are in need of educating ourselves, especially in the matters of religion. Because unfortunately, even though in terms of academic education we may go far, and we try to look for the very best when it comes to those matters, but unfortunately there is still a great amount of negligence when it comes to religious matters. And this is something that we need to look into ourselves. We need to look into improving ourselves and educating ourselves with regards to religious matters. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the ability to do so. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us all the blessings from the blessed life of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, and grant us the ability to follow upon his footsteps. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
The special tense of Abba radiallahu anhum. The special tense of Abba radiallahu anhum. The special